faith. Hallelujah. And I pray that everyone will truly hear, truly receive your word today. And it will bear fruit in their lives. It'll bear fruit in their lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much. And now, Father, I thank you for the anointing that you've given me to minister your word. And I cherish that. And I rest in that. And Father, when it's all said and when it's all done, we're going to give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Everyone say,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Go ahead and turn again in your Bibles. Now, I've been ministering from 1 Peter, and I may even go into 2 Peter. We'll see. And I'm not exactly ministering verse by verse, although I will say this, verse by verse is very, very important. Amen? And there may be sometimes that I'll just go verse by verse and minister the word of God. Hallelujah. But my subject is still the same as it was last week and week before last. Nuggets from Peter. Nuggets from Peter. Now, again, other than just a reminder, I won't go into it, but I want to remind you where we started from. And we started from Luke chapter 22, verse 32, where Jesus told Peter to strengthen his brothers. Before that, he told Peter that Satan had desired to sift him like wheat. But he told Peter that he had prayed for him, and he prayed that his faith would not fail. He prayed for him that his faith would not fail. Amen. Now, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is still interceding for us. You reckon he's praying that our faith don't fail? Hallelujah. Listen to me. If the enemy can steal your faith, he got you whipped. He can whip you. If he can steal your faith, are you listening to me this morning? If he can steal your faith, he can whip you. Because the Word of God clearly states that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Because when we walk by sight, we can see some things that will frighten us. They can be very scary. We can even hear some things that are frightening. But in this world, in this fallen world that we're living in right now, we need something to fall back on when we are pressured, when we come up against things that are unexpected, we didn't see it coming. I'm so glad that God has an answer, aren't you?
Yeah.
Bless the name of the Lord. So Jesus told Peter to go strengthen his brethren after he'd come back to him. And we won't go into all that today. But we see the result of that, not all, because we don't know everything about Peter. We don't know. There are many things that Peter did, miracles, so forth, that we don't know about, but we do know about what's written. Amen? We know about what's written. Amen. And so we see in 1 Peter that Peter had some, as he was moved by the Holy Spirit, had some things to tell us that we need so very much. And so I'm skipping around a little bit. I want you to go to chapter 2. Did I tell you? Chapter 2. And I want us to go down to verse 1. Let me see where I want to begin. I'll just pick it up in verse 21. Verse 21. And you can read the entire chapter. Matter of fact, I would recommend that you read the entire book, 1 and 2 Peter. But in verse 21, it says, "For to this you were called, because," listen to this, "because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." Are you still with me? Now, this is where we're going. Verse 24. "Who himself," now you get this on the inside of you, "who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree." I'll read that again. "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree," or on the cross. I want you to think about it before we go any further. Jesus Christ bore my sins on the cross. He bore your sin on the cross in his own body. Our sin was laid upon him. He took it all. He took it all. Think about that for a moment. He took our sins in his own body. "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness." Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He took it all. But let's finish the verse. By whose stripes you were healed. By whose stripes you were healed. Hallelujah. Think about that for a moment. By whose stripes you were healed, or by whose stripes we were healed. Remember I told you earlier that we must walk by faith. Here's the thing. Because we have earthen bodies, we're open for attack. Okay? The enemy will try to attack your body, your mind, your physical body. And so we have to take a stand. Not saying it's going to be easy, but we have to take a stand. Ephesians chapter 6. Having done all to stand, what are we to do?
Stand.
Having done all to stand, we are to stand. Well, we certainly need to be full of the Word of God, having our faith strengthened day by day. Because we are told, listen to this, we are told to fight the good fight of what?
Amen.
Amen. Laying hold on the eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. Folks, this is a faith walk. You hear me? This is a faith walk. So I want to share some things today concerning physical healing. Amen. Now, we just read 1 Peter 2, verse 24. I want you to go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, with me. Isaiah 53. In Isaiah 53, verse 1, it says, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows, this is talking about Jesus Christ, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Hallelujah. That's Christ on the cross and during the crucifixion. But now look at verse 4. Surely, everybody say surely.
Surely
means that it's a sure thing. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Finish that verse for me. Say it again. And by his stripes, we are healed. And by his stripes, we are healed. Now, folks, we just can't wipe that off the page and pretend it's not there. You can take a white out and go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and white out verse 24, but that's not going to change anything. Amen. The prophet Isaiah was prophesying, looking into the future of what the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would have to go through, how he would be treated, what he'd have to deal with. And in his prophecy, he says, by his stripes, we are healed. He's talking about them during his time. He said, by his stripes, he's looking future, by his stripes, we are healed. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. But Peter took it a step further, because Isaiah was prophesying looking forward. Peter, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, as he was penning the word of God, says, by his stripes we were healed. He's looking back. He's looking back at the cross. By his stripes we were healed. And so, brothers and sisters, we must never lose sight of the fact that Jesus died, not only for our sins, but for our healing as well. The very stripes that they put on his back, on his body, was for our physical healing. Well, some folks say, well, I don't believe that. Believe what you want to. It don't change anything. Glory to God. Don't change a thing. And so the word of God tells us, by his stripes, we were healed. Now, I told you we'd be traveling a little bit. Let's go to the book of Matthew, the 8th chapter. Matthew, the 8th chapter. And I'll begin reading at the 14th verse. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house. Everybody say Peter's house.
Peter's house.
Hallelujah. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. And what else did he do? Finish that verse. Say what? And healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. We just read that. He himself took our infirmities, and what else did he do? And bore our sicknesses. He took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. Jesus bore my sicknesses. Jesus bore your sicknesses. By his stripes you were healed. By his stripes we were healed. according to the Word of God. So let me establish something right now. God wants us well. Now, I've heard folks say, well, you know, God threw sickness on him to teach him something or to teach her something, and God put this on them, God put them. No, people get in trouble because of their own bad decision. If you sit down at a table and eat a whole cake, especially if it's a big size cake, most likely you're going to get sick. And God didn't do it to you. You just sat there and ate too much. Sometimes we bring things on ourselves. Not all the time. Now, we still live in a fallen world, and because of that, and because of Adam's decision, what he did, because he turned everything over to the devil. That's the reason it tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, again, to take the shield of what? Faith. Take the shield of faith. Why? You remember it? Some of you don't remember it, so we're going to have to go there. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians. Glory to God. Say, feed me, Lord.
Feed me, Lord.
Hallelujah. Says, I'll just begin at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why? Because we're in this earth. And because we're in this earth, we have to deal with the things of the earth. Verse 11, put on what? The whole armor of God, that you may be able to do what? Stand against what? The wiles of the devil, the tricks of the devil, the schemes of the devil. Don't think you can just sit back or kick back and just watch TV all the time and do nothing and think you're going to slide by. That's the reason Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now let me read on. He says, verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You see that? Is that in your Bible? Well, because that's in our Bibles, we are told, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Because we're going to need it. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to do what? Stand or withstand. I'm reading from New King James. Withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, you do what? Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, everybody say above all.
Above.
Come on, say it again. Say it so I can hear you.
Above.
Hallelujah. Above all, taking the shield of faith. with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Hallelujah. Doesn't say the fiery darts won't be coming. But it does tell us if we take the shield of faith, we'll be able to quench all those fiery darts that's being shot at us all the time, all the time, all the time. Glory to God. And might as well finish this. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. Hallelujah. Praying always with all prayer, all different types of prayer, and supplication in the Spirit. That's in tongues too. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'll stop right there. Hallelujah. Now, this is something I want you to know. Let me move on. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 8 right quick. Now, remember in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, let me read it to you again, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, said, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Remember I told you earlier, God wants us well. We live in a wicked world, but God wants us well. We live in a fallen world, but God wants us well. Why don't you tell yourself, God wants me well? Say it again.
God wants me well.
Say, God wants me healthy.
God wants me healthy.
And yes, it takes a faith fight. It's a faith fight. Hallelujah. But if we have followed the instruction, we win. Glory to God. So understand, God wants you well. Now flip forward to the book of Mark. Share a little story with you. I'll begin reading at verse 40. It says, now a leper came to him being Jesus, imploring him. I'm sorry, chapter 1. I apologize for that. Mark chapter 1. Beginning at verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, he's talking to Jesus here, listen how he phrased the question. Well, how he phrased the statement, I should say. If, notice that word if you are willing, you can make me clean. Let me stop right there for a moment. If you are willing, you can make me clean. That's a barrier right there for many, many people. Just like this leper. He knew that Jesus had the ability to make him clean. Evidently, he had watched him. If not, watched some of the miracles he did. He certainly heard about them. And so he told Jesus, I'm kind of paraphrasing myself here now. I'm not questioning your ability. I know you can do it. But what I'm not sure about is if you're willing to do it for me. You're still here. I know you're able, but are you willing to do it for me? Now, this man had leprosy, and that was a serious disease. So, Jesus' response to him, matter of fact, let's read it. Verse 41, then Jesus, moved with compassion. Let me stop right there. He's compassionate towards you too. Amen. And toward me. He's compassionate towards us. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing. I am willing. Be cleansed. I am willing. God wants us well. He wants us well. Hallelujah. Verse 42, as soon as he had spoken, immediately, you see that? Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was what? He was cleansed. Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. But let me tell you, sometimes we receive from God, and we give God his due praise for it, and that's what we should do. But sometimes we don't follow instructions. And when you don't follow instructions, you can get in trouble again. You still here? I say, when we don't follow instructions, we can get in trouble again. Now, Jesus cleansed this leper, but then he had some instruction for him. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone. Now, if Jesus said, shut up, keep your mouth shut, what are we supposed to do? Now, we know some folks would have started shouting, ooh, look at here, I'm cleansed. Jesus just cleansed me. I'm cleansed of leprosy. But that ain't what Jesus told him. Jesus says, just be quiet. And he said that for a reason. Said it for a reason. Hallelujah. Let me finish this. And he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now, under the Mosaic law, there were some requirements, and I won't go into all that, but if you want to know more about it, you can go to Leviticus chapter 14, I believe it is, and it talks about the cleansing of the lepers. But here's the thing. Jesus cleansed this man. He was free of leprosy, but he didn't have a testimony until after he did what Jesus told him to do. Go to the priests and follow the law of Moses. You have to understand this was before he went to the cross. Now, we are not under the Mosaic law now, are we? Amen. Let's finish this. However, he went out and began, to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus, listen at this, could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Now, this man did just what I said many people would do. Jesus said, you're cleansed. Go to the priest. If you will go to the priest, do what you're supposed to do there, you will have a greater testimony, and I will be glorified. But because he did not follow Jesus' instruction, it hindered the preaching of the gospel. Now, that's a lesson right there, and I don't have time to go into it, but sometimes we need wisdom. Jesus healed him, he cleansed him, but he gave him some wisdom. Sometimes you can say too much too soon. There's a time for everything. Amen? Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. But now, we see that it was God's will to heal this man of leprosy. Go to James, book of James, the 5th chapter. Do you believe it's God's will to heal you? Amen. You believe he wants you well? Yes. Yes, he does. You have James chapter 5. Verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? I think the King James says, there any sick among you, right? Yeah, am I saying that right? Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him do what? I'm going to stop right there for a moment. Verse 14 says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, some of us would say, well, if anyone among us is sick, we pray that the will of the Lord be done. He may want you well, or he may want you to remain sick for his glory. Now, James 5:14 says, is anyone among you sick? Anyone includes everybody. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them, what? Pray over him, anointing him with oil, because there are many different ways to administer healing, but anointing him with oil in whose name? in the name of the Lord. Verse 15. Put that up there for me, please. And the prayer of what? The prayer of what?
Faith.
And the prayer of faith will do what?
Save.
And the Lord will save the sick, and the Lord will do what?
Raise him up.
And if he've committed sins, he will be forgiven.
Yeah.
Now that doesn't sound like a God that wants to see his people sick. If any sick among you, call for the elders of the church. Let them pray the prayer of faith over him, anointing him with oil. And it's him, but it's him or her. The prayer of faith will save the sick. Another place, I believe in Mark, Jesus said, you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall do what? Matter of fact, they were told to do that, the disciples. Lay hands on the sick. Now, that don't sound to me like God is confused about the matter. He knows what his will is concerning our health. Yes, we have to fight the good fight of faith. Yes, we have to put up the shield of faith. Yes, we have to stay in the Word of God. We have to do our part, because it just don't, healing just don't float down from heaven like snowflakes on us, because we have an enemy. Just like God wants us well, the devil wants you sick and beat down. Jesus told us that in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But then Jesus said, John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, but I've come that you might have what? Amen. That you might have life, and not just life, but abundant life. Abundant life also means you're feeling good. But you know who your enemy is. But we have the responsibility to deal with the enemy. Jesus conquered him, made a show of him openly, that he is defeated. But we as believers must take a stand. Amen?
Amen.
Glory be to God. Glory to God. Guess what? You can do more for God when you feel like it, when you're feeling good. Isn't that right? We can do more I felt good and I felt bad. All of us been there, haven't we? And it's a daily fight of faith. It's a daily fight of faith. But we got to keep the Word of God flowing out of our mouth. And we got to take a stand. And we got to put that shield of faith up. We got to get that sword of the Spirit out. And we got to use it. And in Ephesians chapter 10, where I was reading to you, if you read that, you don't have to read that now, but you'll find out that it doesn't mention anything for your back, which means you should never turn and run. Don't leave your back exposed. God called us to fight and fight the good fight of faith. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Give me just 3, maybe 4 minutes. I want you to turn in your Bible to the book of Exodus. I just want to share some scriptures with you. Exodus, the 15th chapter. Hallelujah. And I won't read all of this. I'm going to read you one verse. And you can come back and read the rest of it. And this is God speaking. Verse 26. I'll begin at the third word. If you diligently, you see that? If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, that's live in his word, glory to God. Give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. You see that? I will put none of these diseases, or you can say it this way, I will allow none of these diseases on you, which I have brought on the Egyptians. Why? Finish that. He's the Lord who does what? For I am the Lord that who heals you. It does not say I am the Lord who make you sick. I am the Lord your healer. I am the Lord your healer. I am the Lord your healer. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Continue to develop your faith. Continue to feed on God's word. Feed on healing scriptures. Healing verses. If you're sick in your body, feed on healing verses. There are many CDs or whatever out there right now where you can listen to healing scriptures. Put them by your bed and go to sleep listening to the word of God. Why? Because you're getting it on the inside of you. Getting it on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We won't go there. You can write it down. But faith comes by hearing God's word. Amen. Faith comes by hearing God's word. Are we going to one more reference and then we're going to quit? Turn with me to the book of Acts. I hope you're getting this on the inside of you, folks, because there's an enemy out there that wants to take you down. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 14. So now we know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want to give you an example of that. In Acts chapter 14, I'll begin reading it in verse 6. Now, Paul and Barnabas had been ministering, and folks were stirring up trouble practically everywhere they went. We won't go into all that, but I want to pick it up at verse 6. They became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, I think I'm pronouncing that right, and to the surrounding regions. And they were doing what? Preaching the gospel there. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting a cripple from his mother's womb. You see that? Who had never walked. Okay? Let me read that again. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. But what was happening there? Let me tell you, the gospel was being preached. The word of God was being preached. Verse 9, this man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently, and seeing that he had what? Seeing that he had faith to be healed. Now, again, I'm reading from New King James Version. Regular King James Version says that Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed. Now, remember, Paul's preaching the word of God. He may have been preaching on healing. I don't know what he was preaching about, but he was preaching the word of God, and he perceived or observed that this man has enough faith to be healed. Verse 10, and said with a loud voice, he didn't whisper, stand upright on your feet. Now remember, this man has never walked. Stand upright on your feet. And he got up very slowly. He got up shaky. Well, he had to, because this man never walked. He was a cripple from his mother's womb. He didn't know what it was like to walk. Stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. Because he heard the word and he received the word he heard. And Paul, the preacher, perceived and recognized this man. And sometimes God will let you know that. You'll be able to see it. That this man has faith to be healed. And he boldly told him to stand up. Get on your feet. And the man leaped up. Listen, I'm closing. But brothers and sisters, because we have an enemy that's always trying to bring us down, like it says in John chapter 10, verse 10, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Just like it tells us in Ephesians chapter 10, that we have an enemy coming at us all the time. We must continuously hear the word of God. It don't matter. You may have been saved 50 years, 60 years. All of us still need to hear the word of healing. We need to hear what the Bible says about healing and God's will concerning healing. Physical healing, emotional healing, healing in spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. But if we don't hear it, it slowly drains away from us. We have to keep it fresh. We have to keep it fresh. Father, we thank you. We thank you.